Our scripture reading this evening is found in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. A very familiar passage for those of you who've been regular attenders. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, we'll be focusing specifically this evening on the helmet of salvation. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Helmets are an important part of many people's lives. I was reflecting on the different helmets I've worn over the years. I remember wearing a little helmet when I rode my bicycle. I remember wearing a batting helmet in playing baseball. But one particular helmet I remember is a helmet like this one. A lot of smiles out there tonight. This is a motorcycle helmet. And in 1978, when I was about 20, 21 years old, I was driving into Chicago. I was a student at Wheaton College in the western suburbs of Chicago. And as I was driving, it's a four-lane highway, two going in, two coming out, speed limits around 45. There's a center turn lane. And as I was following one of my buddies into downtown Chicago, a dear lady, at that moment I didn't think of her as a dear lady, but upon reflection, she might have been. She pulled out in front of me as I was in the left lane, cruising along, I'm sure, right at about 45 miles an hour. And as she pulled out in front of me, I had tried to slow down as quickly as possible without locking up my brakes, but you get to the point where you're like, well, I've just got to shut this thing down. And as I began to shut it down, my rear tire began to pass me on the right, and my front tire just gently kissed her bumper. And when it did, my bike was down. And I was skidding down the left lane of a four-lane highway, basically, on my way to Chicago. I was able to get my left foot out, and I was somehow kind of riding on top of the bike until the foot peg caught. And when the foot peg caught, the bike flipped, and of course, I was a projectile. And I landed in the turn lane, tumbling through the turn lane, and kind of came up in the ready position, oddly enough. I felt pretty good. I was angry, and I walked back to the motorcycle, picked it up, and pushed it across the traffic. By then, a number of people have stopped. And they were like, are you okay? It's amazing. How are you walking? And as it turned out, I was fine. But when I took off my hat, I looked at my hat, and there was a groove cut in the side of my hat where at some point I had skid along the asphalt and tore a big groove out of my hat. So if you do ride those little two-wheelers, I encourage you to wear a hat. A lot of crazy things can happen. By the way, I'm selling two motorcycles. Just anybody like to purchase an RC51? The R stands for racing, and the Harley Davidson Road King. So please contact me after the service. Helmets. The helmet of salvation is an invisible helmet. It's a helmet that we can't see. It's a helmet that actually at some point is placed on your head by the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What I would like to do for us this evening is, if you will, do the history of helmets, the history of the helmet of salvation. And in order to do so, you have to recognize something, that the history of the helmet of salvation reaches far, far back into eternity past. It reaches back before the foundation of the world. And deep in eternity past, our salvation was born. And then it came upon us in our time so that we would have an understanding of real time that we're saved by God. But that line, which started in eternity past, goes all the way through our lives now and into eternity future. And what I would like to do this evening is have you turn back just a couple pages in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want us to notice a few things about the tenses of these verbs in Ephesians chapter 1. You're going to find them to be past tense verbs. So this evening in our time, I'd like to talk about eternity past and the helmet of salvation in eternity past. And then I would like to talk about present time, real time salvation. And then I would like to take us through the power of the Holy Spirit and His revealed will through His word into eternity future and what the helmet of salvation looks like in eternity future. First of all, eternity past. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now pay attention to the text, to the tense of these verbs. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us, past tense, as He chose us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. So the helmet of salvation is linked to eternity past. And as you look at eternity past, you realize that before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. The word predestined means predetermined. It's something that you have to do beforehand. It's something that you declare beforehand if you're going to predetermine. You don't look back at your wife and say, oh, no, honey, I planned it that way. You say, well, honey, this is the route that we're taking to get to the restaurant. So along the way, she may be able to discern whether you're really lost or not, right? It's something that you predetermine. It's not something that you look back at and retrofit. Our salvation was set in Jesus Christ by God the Father in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. How secure is your salvation, this helmet of salvation? It's so secure, it goes back before creation. It goes back before the foundation of the world. I want you to notice in verse 7, it says, in Him we have redemption. In other words, we've been bought back. We've been redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Look at the tense, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will. I want you to begin to recognize that as we look at eternity past, our salvation was already established before the world was created. It was established between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to realize something that's very important. God made a promise to himself to save his people. There are many covenants throughout the Bible, and the focus of this evening's message is not particularly on covenants, but I want you to recognize that a covenant is an unbreakable promise between two parties. And in Hebrews chapter 13, I want to read to you an unbreakable promise made between two parties. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you. By the blood of the eternal covenant. The eternal covenant, which was formed before the foundation of the world. Who made these promises? If a covenant is an unbreakable promise between two parties, what's going on here? What's an eternal covenant? The eternal covenant is God the Father and God the Son making unbreakable promises from which we will benefit. An eternal covenant before the foundation of the world. So if you look back at the history of the helmet of salvation, I want you to know that you find it in eternity past. You find the security of your hope not simply in something you've experienced today, but in eternity past. Before the beginning of the world, God set, through an eternal covenant, set on a path that he would save us. Now, I want to talk a little bit about salvation currently. What's salvation present? What does it mean for us to be saved now? A lot of us have this sense that God is in heaven waiting for us to ratify or validate his covenant promises for us. And the way I would like to approach this thinking is not that when we pray to receive Christ or ask Jesus into our heart, that all of a sudden God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go into motion and say, oh my goodness, they've prayed a prayer. Let's go, everybody. Let's enact salvation. No. What happens is God the Spirit works in us in such a way that he convinces us of our sin. He convinces us of the work of Christ on our behalf. And then we pray and say, oh God, save me. Or, oh God, thank you for saving me through Christ. Our hope currently is not in a decision we made that then enabled the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God to act, but the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God who acted before the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, so worked in our hearts to convince us real time that he saved us. And we cry out and say, oh God, you've saved me. My confidence is not in a decision I made. Because give me 5 minutes with any of you who've made a decision for Jesus, and I can have you doubting. If you're honest, I can have you doubting. Because I can simply say something like, well, did you really mean it? Well, I thought I kind of really meant it. I mean, it was a pretty big moment for me at camp. I was 11, and it was a hard time. They wouldn't let us stay out late. And I was really heartbroken and upset. And so, right, if you put your confidence in your decision, then you can see how quickly your confidence can be undermined. We put our confidence in salvation in the work of God. In the work of God in eternity past and in the work of God right now. We believe that the Holy Spirit of God is present with us today, and he's working in our hearts. He's working through these teachings of his word. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, to hope in Christ. One of the things that happens to us when the Holy Spirit is converting us, He causes us to move from hoping in our own self-righteousness and in our own goodness to hoping in the work of Christ. So our hope is transferred from our own good works, which are at best limited, to the one who has the perfect good works, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the process of salvation, the helmet of salvation, if you will, is placed on our heads in the process of hoping. Oh, we hope that we're going to make it. Oh, we hope when we stand before God. Let me read a passage to you in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, you see, the Holy Spirit speaks through God's word. He speaks through God's word. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. He's speaking of this wilderness wandering of the Old Testament people of God after they've left Egypt. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you may be hardened by this deceitfulness of sin. For we've come to share in Christ if we indeed hold our original confidence. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Do you know, we do not know the future. We do not know the future. We have today. We have today when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through God's word. A time when God's word goes into our hearts and causes us to realize in a real sense, this is a lot bigger than I am. This goes back into eternity past. I don't know who's the oldest person in this room. I'm 51. Let's say I'm somewhere in the middle. But I don't care if you're 101. When you compare 100 years to eternity, it is a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket. And so I would call on you and ask you a simple question. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has set you apart for His purposes and has redeemed you, has purchased you? What does that mean? It means that because of our sin, because we have been disobedient to the Lord, we're under His judgment, we're under His wrath. We need someone to save us. Do you know in the most simple way I could explain what it means to believe in a covenant promise? You might think, covenant promise? Wow, Pastor Tim, I've never really heard somebody use a phrase like that, a covenant promise. I think one of the most simple ways I could explain that is God is saying, I will save you. I promise. You're in trouble. You're lonely. You're confused. You're trying to be a good person. One of the most common things people say to me when I talk to them about the Lord, and I say, if you were to die tonight and stand before God, and God were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? My Muslim friends always say the same thing. They say, I've tried to listen more to the good angel than I have to the bad angel, and I try to do good works. That's the most common answer I get from anyone I speak to of the Lord Jesus Christ. How will you stand before a righteous God? And people say, oh, I've done my best to be a good person, hoping that somewhere God grades on a curve, hoping somewhere in there God says, okay, you're better than 69% of the other people who've ever existed. You're in the C group. You're made a 70 and above. No, God will judge each of our sins and will hold us accountable for our sins. Even our good works, Isaiah says, are like filthy rags before the Lord. Our only hope is that the Lord would save us, that the Lord would do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And then lastly, salvation's culmination in the future. Salvation is not just past, present, it's also future. I want you to recognize a beautiful truth in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. And then hear this. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, a helmet gives a person confidence. I'll never forget the first time I ever put a football helmet on my head. I remember putting a helmet on my head, much like this one. And I remember actually backing up and running into a wall with it. Some of you, a lot of things just came together for you. There was some feeling of invincibility. I don't care if you were a 100-pound nose guard, like a dear friend of mine was, or you're a 300-pound offensive lineman. You put a helmet on and there's this sense of invincibility about you. There's this hope, there's this certainty, there's this surety that comes with placing this helmet on your head. I want you to recognize the source. Look at verse 9 or listen with me out of 1 Thessalonians 5. For God has not destined us for wrath, but he's destined us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. He's our hope. He's our strong hope. This helmet of hope keeps us safely bound within the eternal covenant, past, present, and future. You know, I'll never forget somebody asked me and said, Pastor Tim, when is a person actually saved? When, in reality, when is a person actually saved? Is it when God the Father and God the Son established the eternal covenant in eternity past? Was it when God promised in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent? Was it when the torch and smoking fire pot passed between the halved animals in Genesis 15? Was it when God provided a sacrifice for Abraham instead of his son Isaac? Was it when Jesus died? Were you saved when he died? Were you saved when he was resurrected? Were you saved when you finally recognized your need for Christ and cried out, Lord, save me, have mercy on me, a poor sinner? Was it at your baptism? Will it be at Christ's return? The answer is yes. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. You were saved when the eternal covenant was established. You were saved when God promised in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. You were saved when Abraham's son Isaac was replaced by a ram. You were saved when Jesus died. You were saved when he was resurrected. You will be saved at his return. You see, believing the promises of God and receiving this helmet of salvation pours strength into our souls. The Holy Spirit straps this chin strap underneath our chin, if you will, and he carries us on into eternity future with the hope of salvation. I want you to know that Christ went to the tomb with a bloodied head. Many of us try to tiptoe our way to heaven without having any marks on us. We try to avoid suffering and difficulties. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to his grave with a bloody face, a bloody body, after his life of suffering and his life of service. You know, I want you to know in the New Testament, there are many promises that encourage us of the eternal properties of the helmet of salvation. Philippians 1:6 says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Our salvation is sure. Our hope is sure. Do you know, in the future, in eternity future, the helmet will be replaced by a crown. The helmet of salvation will be replaced by a crown. I'll never forget the first day I coached Pee Wee football in the Park Cities. We had a little team, and I think it was a group of fourth graders, so it's fairly intense. They hadn't realized they're not that good yet. So anytime a little boy or a little girl doesn't know how they ultimately compare to the competition, they're fairly competent and confident. Well, after practice, I looked and I watched the little boy get on his bicycle. He had tied a rope to the seat, and he had tied the rope to the face mask of his helmet. And he took off riding down the sidewalk. And as he did, the helmet bounced along behind him, cutting deep grooves into the helmet. And I pulled up alongside him in the car and called out his name and said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, it looks so tough when your helmet's all scarred up." And so the next practice, he showed up. It looked like he'd been playing football for the Cleveland Browns for 30 years. His hat, the paint was chipped. He had big gouges in it. You know, if your life's like mine, your helmet has some scars. You've been hurt. You yourself have chosen to run into some walls in your life. But I want you to know our hope is not in the earthly condition of our helmet. Our hope is in the eternal condition of God's faithful covenant promises. When he cried out throughout the quarters of history and said, "I will save you. I promise." If you this evening find yourself to be one who has tried to battle against your sin, you've tried to be a good person, the best person you could be, but even this evening you've found yourself to be wanting, you realize that if God were to judge you for everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, everything you should have done but you didn't do, everything you could have said but you didn't say, every high and lofty thought you could have had, but you've resigned yourself to live a very temporal, low life, I would ask you to turn your humble face toward heaven and say, "Oh God, with your promises from eternity past, fulfilled through Christ on my behalf, would you place the helmet of salvation on me, a poor sinner? You're my only hope." Let's pray. Father, we have found ourselves this evening to be men and women, boys and girls, who are in need of a Savior. We ask that you, O Lord Christ, would place the helmet of salvation on your people tonight. Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts that we can't do. Lord, when our hands are dirty, we can wash our hands and they're clean. But Lord, when our heart is dirty, we can't wash our own heart, Lord. We need you, Jesus, to come into our heart and to wash us clean from the stain of our sin. Oh, Lord, we worship you and we praise you. We thank you for fulfilling your covenant promises for us, Lord. We receive and enjoy this helmet of salvation. Lord, though we feel scarred, though we've inflicted some serious damage on ourselves through our sin, we know our hope is sure in you. We bow before you and worship you, Lord. We make our prayer in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.